Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. My name is Nate Maslach, and I'm the co-founder and CEO of Ribbon Health, a provider data management platform. Today, we'll be speaking about strategies to improve Medicare star ratings with provider data. I'm joined by Will Schrenk, former Chief Medical Officer at Humana and UPMC Health Plan, and Jill Hummel, former President at Anthem BCBS Connecticut. Thank you both for joining us today.
It's great to
Thank
be
you for
here.
having us.
To get started, I'd love for each of you to introduce yourself so our listeners know about all of your expertise, and we'd love to for you all to share a little bit about your background. Will, let's start with you.
I would love to do that. So I'm an internal medicine physician, and I started off as a academic. I worked at Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School doing research on prescription drug policy, and then spent a couple of years in the federal government at CMMI when it first started and led the evaluation group there. And then I've been in the private sector since. I spent a couple of years at CVS Health working with health systems taking risks to leverage retail pharmacies and retail clinics to better improve population health. I was the chief medical officer at UPMC Health Plan in Pittsburgh and the chief medical officer at Humana. And now I'm serving as a venture partner at Andreessen Horowitz, where I have the very good fortune to spend some time with Nate Maslach at Ribbon.
Thanks, Will. And Jill, what about you?
So I was a practicing attorney, a healthcare attorney, representing physicians, hospitals, and health plans for 17 years. And then I took a turn on the business side. So for the last 20 years of my career, I was involved in the business of healthcare, most recently as the head of the payment innovation team nationally at Anthem, and then truly, most recently, as the president of Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield in Connecticut.
Wonderful. Jill, well, both, thank you so much for being here. I know we have a lot of amazing knowledge in the room today, and I want to start with a few stats that really underscore the state of Medicare star ratings today as we get into it. So in 2023, Medicare Advantage plans saw a major decline in star ratings, while in 2022, 68% of MA plans had a rating of four or higher. In 2023, that rating dropped by 25% to only 50% of plans with a star rating of four or more. On top of that, we know that 62% of Americans already don't trust their health plan to provide accurate care options. So there's a lot of work to be done here to build that trust back up with consumers and improve ratings across plans. Jill, I'll start with you. As somebody who's operated a health plan, why are star ratings so important for health plans?
Well, star ratings are important for several reasons. First and foremost, they are a reflection of a member's experience with the plan. And plans really do care about the member experience. They want to provide the highest quality health care, and they want to help their members live healthier lives. That's really, really important. So if you're receiving a low star rating, then you're really failing in this mission. So that's always first and foremost. That's the table stakes. Second, it really has an impact on enrollment and retention. Every year, members have an opportunity to shop for their MA plan, their Medicare Advantage plan. And data shows that those star ratings actually have a pretty big impact on those shopping decisions. So when a plan star rating goes down, they lose current members, and they can't replace those members with new members because new members aren't choosing them. So just to put this in some context, a one-star rating improvement could, on average, lead to a year-over-year 8 to 12% increase in plan enrollment. So finally, and this is also critically important, star ratings impact revenue. They impact the bonus payments, and they also impact the plan's rebate percentage. And that could be a significant impact. So between increases in enrollment, bonus payments, and the rebate percentage, improving a star rating from just three to four could increase a plan's revenue between 13.4% and 17.6%.
Wow, thanks, Jill. And that is a lot. And you've already started to touch on this, and I'm curious to hear from your personal experience as a health plan leader. How have you seen lowered star ratings actually affect overall health plan business operations and needs?
Yeah, that's a great question. So star ratings are really critically important for health plans to differentiate themselves in what's becoming a very competitive marketplace. So when a star rating goes down, that's going to directly equate to loss in earnings for these Medicare Advantage plans. And aside from the impacts on drops in enrollment and member retention, as I briefly mentioned, the star ratings also impact the amount of quality bonuses and rebate percentages that a plan to receive. In order to encourage Medicare Advantage plans to compete for enrollees based on quality, the ACA, what we all know as the Affordable Care Act, the ACA establishes a quality bonus program that increases payments to plans with higher ratings. And there is really a significant amount of money on the line here. So federal spending on MA bonus payments hit $12.8 billion, that's billion, in 2023. So to dive deeper now into the rebate percentage, plans also receive rebates from the federal government. These are calculated as a percentage of the difference between that risk-adjusted service area benchmark and the risk-adjusted bid. The higher the star rating that a plan receives, the more of that rebate, the more of that gap between those two measures the plan gets to keep. So, for example, a five-star plan receives a 70% rebate, while a plan with three stars only receives 50% of that difference.
Wow, thanks, Jill. And I really appreciate how you walk us through the complexities of these bids and also simplify for what it really means back to a plan. That difference in the rebate percentage is really stark. And well, I'd love to hear your perspective on this as well, especially as somebody who's been a chief medical officer at Humana and at UPMC, as well as your other experience.
Yeah, well, I'll just build on what, I mean, I think Jill did a really nice job of outlining the incredible value importance for a plan. From a clinical perspective, you know, I don't think a lot of clinicians who choose to work at health plans wake up every day, you know, just clamoring to do their utilization management. Those of us who have kind of chosen to this line of work believe that through coverage decisions, through benefit design, through the clinical assets and care management tools that a plan has, through, you know, progressive relationships with providers, that plans have an important role to improve care, to improve the processes of care that are delivered, to improve the experiences that patients have in a very fragmented and often hard to navigate health system, and most importantly, to improve health outcomes. And that's really what STARS are aiming to capture through CAHPS, through process measures, through outcome measures, that whole continuum. And, you know, to be able to really orient time, energy, resources at those outcomes is sort of the reason that clinicians wanna pursue a career in a health plan. Is there is really a huge opportunity to make a difference in the lives of the members that we serve. To again, to build on Jill's really sort of I think her description on how much is at stake, the fact that so much is at stake financially puts a lot of wind in the sails of those who are building these quality improvement programs, because, you know, this isn't philanthropy. It's the right thing to do for patients, but it also does impact the bottom line in a very important way. So it's a place that you can get meaningful resources to try to improve the lives of the members you serve. And the one other tweak I would just add to Jill's really good description is that, in addition to sort of the financial value of each incremental star, if you can get to that highest star level, if you get to five stars, there are additional benefits that are accrued. In particular, you can recruit throughout the year, and not just in the open enrollment period. So it does offer you even unique ways to grow your plan if you're able to hit the highest quality scores. So from my perspective, you know, I think this was really the STARS and quality improvement in general is really at the core of what I did, what we did working at a health plan.
Thanks, Paul. And I love how you tie that back to the impact on patients and consumers as well, because it's easy for us to think about these star ratings as, you know, only a financial driver, but it also has very real outcomes on member experience and member care. And Jill, I'm actually going to turn that back to you. I mentioned at the beginning, most Americans don't trust their health plan to provide accurate care options. We have a lot of data to back that up. And I'd love to understand, like, as a provider data company, I would be remiss not to ask, how do you think provider data plays a role in this? How does it affect star ratings and maybe member care?
Provider data has such a big impact. It's all about that provider directory, and I'm going to unpack that in a second. But I want to touch upon those CAHPS ratings, the Consumer Assessment of Health Plan Providers and Systems Survey that Will mentioned. Because what's happened is CMS has now been putting more weight on those CAP measures in assessing the quality bonus. This adds more pressure on plans, of course, to provide excellent member experience, in addition to all of the reasons that we provided before. Because again, plans really do care. So importantly, the ability to get the care that you need and the ability to get that care quickly are in those CAP measures. So if you can think about it, think about the provider data and think about that provider directory and a member going in order to find a provider that they need. If they can't find the provider that they need or the information that is wrong, that member is not going to be able to access or easily access care with an in-network provider. So you're going to have a member that is not accessing the care and is quite frankly very unhappy about the inability to access that care. And that's going to translate into both low star ratings, and it's also going to translate into disenrollment. And as Will mentioned, members do have an opportunity outside open enrollment to switch to 5-star plans or at least annually to make a decision, vote with their feet, so to speak. But in addition, you know, aside from the CAHPS ratings, you have to think about these new prospective members and what do most members do? And I say all members, not just members in a Medicare Advantage plan. What's the first thing that most prospective members do when there's a new health plan offering? They go in, they look in the directory to see if their provider is in network. If that information is not there or is inaccurate, a member may think, oh, my provider's not in that plan. And that member is not going to choose that plan. So again, aside from the impact on quality bonuses, you also have a huge impact on enrollment and retention based on that provider data. And again, the impact on that provider directory.
Thanks, Jill. And it does feel like there's still a lot of work to be done on that front. And I appreciate the conversation with the two of you to be able to think through what comes next. So Will, I want to ask you, if you were to give advice for health plan leaders that are looking to invest in doing better and innovating, especially as it relates to provider data infrastructure, of course, coming from Ribbon, what are some of the key elements that you think will enable health plans to improve the member experience?
Well, obviously, there's lots and lots of places to invest and innovate, but this is a really, really critical place, this area of provider directories, understanding more about provider performance for the purposes of referrals, for the purposes of creating high-value networks. And as you've said many times before, Nate, that the quality of that data is at the core of our ability to make good decisions, which are central to the business function and most importantly to the experience and access to quality care that our members receive. And when you think about sort of the quality and comprehensiveness of the data, the challenge here is that data is coming from a number of different sources. So you have to get information about insurance coverage, you have to get information about location, but you have lots of information about clinical performance. And being able to pull all of that together in a comprehensible way is, you know, it's not straightforward, and there's certainly a lot of variability in the marketplace in terms of what's being offered. I'd say the, you know, the next thing is also turning it into something that's actionable. So it's not enough just to have a good data source, but to be able to turn it into something that allows for good decision making, either on the point from the perspective of the plan to develop and organize and prioritize a network, or a patient who's trying to determine which are the right physician or right provider for them, and referral patterns from one provider to another, there needs to be actionable, interpretable information about performance on cost, on quality, on experience. And, you know, last, it's also really important to know what you don't have. It's not sufficient just to sort of suggest that you have, you know, 100% of all the data that's relevant for every provider if you don't, and no one has all of that data. So the ability, there's really an essential transparency feature that's necessary so that you know how to interpret the data that you got.
Yeah, that definitely resonates. And, you know, we have these conversations with health plan execs often. And one of the things, maybe the thing I hear most from health plan executives is how many different priorities they have to juggle. Well, kind of as a follow-up to what you shared from your experience, where do you think this work and where star ratings should rank in terms of priority? And where do they rank today, perhaps?
Well, I'd say that, like, you know, so star ratings may get, you know, some negative feedback in terms of it's a challenge for providers because they feel like they're getting measured on a whole bunch of items. And there are always ways to improve, you know, the measure set. Maybe it should include a different measure or some measures should be tweaked. But in general, this idea of measuring the experience of the member, the processes of cares that they're receiving, and their health outcomes as a central feature in how you assess the performance of a plan just makes all the sense in the world. If we are not focused on how we take care of patients, how we take care of members, how we take care of consumers, and how we help them through this, what is often a just incredibly challenging, you know, sort of process of navigating care in a fragmented healthcare system, you know, what is our job? That is really at the core. That is what our job is. So this focus on quality, this focus on the experience of the member, and the focus on star ratings as a result is, I think, really, really very much at the core of what we all ought to be doing as health plan executives.
I completely agree. And Jill and Will, I'm so glad that we were able to have this conversation and to tie this back to patient care. Now, there's a lot of work to be done, and I always walk away from these conversations very inspired by the potential that we can take to drive action and actually improving member experience. And as you all mentioned, star ratings as a byproduct of that. So really grateful for the conversation, and thank you both for your time and the great discussion today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
And for everyone listening, you can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting the podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.